morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
It's on the radio.
And we are on the internet, too, under a shiny new name at last.
Wow.
So we are going by the Game Changers name, I guess for the last couple weeks now.
Yes.
And we talk about video games on this particular show because we love video games, we have issues with video games. And yeah, I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And what have you been playing for the last week?
Well, I beat Dishonored 2, and I have mixed feelings about it in terms of the story. And that might also be because I didn't care about the story. And, like, you know, I tried to pay attention, and I get what's happening, but it might be the fact that I never played the first game. Which, you know, here's the thing. It is a little detrimental that I would have to play the first game to understand the second game. Like, in some way, there should be an amount of, like, you know, you
disconnect?
Should... No, well, you should fill me in on what happened. So I can be up to speed and I don't have to go back and invest my time in a game that I don't really want to play. You know, not to say that I don't really want to play Dishonored, the first one, but it's just, like, I have more games to play that I could do than
maybe
that.
Maybe I'll check out Dishonored one of these days when I have the time to do so.
Well, you could try Dishonored 2 and do the Corvo route.
That's true.
Yeah.
I might check that out.
I think because you get that rat ability that I really wanted, but you can't get with Emily, which is disappointing. There's an ability where you can just, like, summon rats to eat people, and I'm like, that would be really handy. I liked the game. I still think it had... I enjoy the fact that there's, like, 20 different ways to do something. I like that it's sort of very inventive. I do feel that it doesn't handhold you, or it doesn't really show you those other options very easily. Like, you can go and find those options, but often it's, like, you just want to go from point A to point B sort of thing.
Right.
I can see the, you know, if you really enjoyed this game, I could see the validity in, like, playing it over and over again and doing it different ways, right? Like, and that's sort of what they're interested in. And I think, once again, there's parts of it that I would play again because it was fun. I had fun. I liked the stealth. You know, there were things that I did just try again or kept on doing one way because I knew I could do it eventually. I could figure it out. Like, the ending was kind of lackluster, the final boss was kind of lackluster, and I did like the ability to choose a non-lethal way to get rid of people in this game.
See, it's nice to have that option.
Yeah, it's non-lethal, but it's not, like, amazing. Like, but I would say the people that you're taking out in this are sort of, they're quote-unquote bad guys or whatever, right? Like, they're the antagonists of the video game that you are trying to stop. And you can do that by either killing them or doing something like take away their powers. I think I made a guy brain dead because I electrocuted his brain really hard.
As one does.
Yeah, so there's just, like, those are the options you have, which are kind of interesting, too, like, non-lethally end someone or stop them from doing something. And I chose those ways just because I was like, those seem like a little bit harder to do, like a little bit more of a challenge rather than just go and kill them.
And do you get the same penalties for doing so?
Like, what do you mean?
Would this count as a spoiler on how to play the game?
No.
How the ending? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, depending on how many people that you finish off in the game, end up killing in the game, affects your ending.
Okay.
So if you happen to incapacitate them as opposed to slay them, does that affect
the ending?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think there's an amount. I do think there's an amount of that, I will say. But there's also an amount of, I think it might just be, like, the last one I choose. I don't know for sure. I think I got a good ending. I think I got, you know, an ending where I did try to mitigate harm for the most part. Like, I got better. I didn't realize that, you know, you are sort of really not detrimented for being spotted or, like, not doing stealth or not killing people, but the game wants you to not kill people and not be seen. Like, it it tells me that by being like, you didn't do that. And I'm like, but you gave me the option to kill. I'm sorry. Like, I will say once again, once I figured out how to knock out people instead of just automatically killing them, like, that's the other thing, is I sort of fuddled with the controls for a bit, especially the fighting. I found the fighting was maybe that's why I didn't like the head-on approach, because the fighting mechanics I don't think were the best. And once again, it's just sort of more fun to go around and see if you can find a solution, sort of a stealthy way rather than, you know, head-on. But I will say, like, my stealthy way often involved me, like, maybe killing someone and then being seen and then running away. Like, that's sort of, or not killing. I didn't, once again, I tried to knock out everybody I could, because the knockouts are forever, like, it's like death, except you're, once again, you're not penalized. I'm just saying, because in some games, like Metal Gear, you knock someone out, they'll eventually wake up.
That's very nerve-wracking to me.
Oh, yeah. But in this game, in Dishonored, if you knock someone out, they're knocked out, which, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. Like, it's not my most favorite game, and I don't know if I'd play it again, but it had a lot of really fun mechanics, and I would say I would enjoy seeing another game in that vein, sort of thing.
We'll keep an eye out, and hopefully there'll be a Dishonored 3.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'd play it. I liked the gameplay in this one enough that, like, that was the reason sort of why I was interested. Once again, that's why I didn't really pay attention to the story. The gameplay is more of a fun aspect to that. That's almost the same way with me in, like, Fallout 4. The gameplay was a more enjoyable aspect than the actual story, which is why when I was at the end of the story, I was like, just gonna end the game here, I guess. I'm not gonna see what actually happens.
There's something very satisfying about the open world games that Bethesda releases. Like, they didn't make, they think they just, what's the word? Released. They, not produced.
But,
distributed.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, for the Arcane. But, yeah, because this is under Bethesda Studios, or they gave them some money to put the Bethesda name on there to be like, yeah, we're a Bethesda project, but, you know, but not a real Bethesda game.
There's just
don't
something,
worry.
Yeah, there's just something very satisfying, even though we have a lot of, we can take a lot of issue with Bethesda and their practices. There is something almost calming about running across an open landscape where you can, like, outrun
where
your
no
enemies.
One's there.
And,
no, I'm just joking. Yeah, yeah, it's like where there's nothing, just waste and nothing and sad, and there's your dog. No.
I could do a walking tour of the world of Skyrim.
No, well, Skyrim would, yeah, I'm
and
sure
follow.
People,
I like
Skyrim
final
is
the...
legitimately, I would also agree, Skyrim is one where I just deviated from the initial story because I didn't find it interesting. I didn't kill one dragon, I killed the initial dragon, and then I never killed any other dragons, even though that's, like, I'm pretty sure
that's
most of
the
point
thing
of the game,
yeah.
Right? I just did all of the other things, and then I was like, well, I had my 40 hours of Skyrim, I have a wife and a house, I'm good.
I've adopted 2 children, there's a dog involved.
I'm a werewolf, I can see that maybe it would be interesting, like, I think there are people who actually enjoy the Skyrim stories and, like, Oblivion and that Elder Scrolls, like, the story aspect.
There's a lot put into them,
well, and then there's, like, so much lore, there's, like, a million books, even with Fallout, like, you think about all of the little computer stuff, and it's just sort of, like, there is more interesting stuff, but it doesn't present it in a way that's, like, you want to actually search it out and read it with something like, I would say, Dark Souls, which does very good with giving you very little lore up front, but has it, you know, if you want to go looking for it, you can find it, and it's fantastic.
Speaking of Dark Souls, or more likely Bloodborne, I did just download a game called Yharnam,
which I was like, I just don't like this name.
But it looks very, very neat. It's supposed to be very 2D Zelda-esque, so it's a top-down situation, but you get
Bloodborne-esque.
But Bloodborne-esque.
With blood flavored as Bloodborne.
They have the Bloodborne bosses in it. And
oh, really?
So I'm suspecting this might be a little bit more... It's a fan-made game.
Okay.
So it is free to get.
Interesting.
Check out Yharnam, because it looks very, very neat.
Okay.
It is for PC.
Then I can forgive this. I thought this was, like, somebody was making a parody.
No.
Or, like, was like, this is my OC village, Yharnam. Not Yharnam, Yharnam. Don't get it wrong. But
don't check it out, because people are saying it is actually quite good. and I recommend it. And yeah. I'm going to check it out later myself.
Yeah.
So, video games. I'm still chipping away at Final Fantasy VII, but on Friday, July 17th, Ghost of Tsushima came out, so I think I'm going to be picking that up soon because...
Yeah, we haven't played it. I've watched some reviews of it. I've looked at it. It looks great. The only Sucker Punch game I've played is Infamous Second Son, which I liked. I liked it enough to get, like, lots of the trophies. Like, I played extra bits of it because I enjoyed it. It also features, like, it's one of, like, three games that I can think of that has, like, indigenous man as the main character. Or indigenous person as the main character. I will say, he is voiced by, you know, what's his name? Troy Baker. Yeah. I would say, Troy Baker, please, you know, let someone else voice somebody for once, you know? I'm sure there's another white man who would love, you know, one or two of those boys to voice. And, you know, the brown people would love to voice maybe the brown characters. I'm just putting that out there.
Take an extended vacation, Troy Baker. Yeah. You deserve
it. Yeah, question mark. Anyway, but yeah, I liked Sucker Punch games. This game looks really good. Like, it looks visually amazing.
It looks beautiful. They also did the Sly Cooper games, too.
They did also. I was like, the only Sucker Punch game I've ever played. That's a lie. I have very much played so much Sly Cooper, and I love Sly Cooper. This game is obviously, like, I would say it's quite a deviation from Sly Cooper. If you know Sly Cooper, he's based off of, like, cartoon comic book kind of thing.
Like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, he's a raccoon. It's a furry game. And he does stealing and stuff. But it's in Ghost of Tsushima, it's like I don't want to say it's historical because I don't know for sure, but is it a fantasy made up place? It might be that.
Partly, but I think it is also based on one of the first Mongol invasions of Japan.
Yes, so actually, that is the setting. I think there is, yeah. Yes, you're right. And, yeah, you play as, I don't know what his name is, what your character is.
We'll figure that out. We have
his name is Wolf from Sekiro. he popped up over here.
So, when this first came out, a lot of people were comparing it to Sekiro because it takes place in a very similar setting. It's ancient Japan.
I want to say, like, it's because it was ancient Japan. It's funny that they came out with the same sort of, I want to say, concept or... maybe genre is even better to do, because I don't think they're the same at all. Like, no. I think there's a large amount of difference.
This is supposed to be open world, and it strikes me as kind of a Horizon Zero Dawn-esque sort of game, which I think is why.
I was also looking at it and being like, that looks... I would say maybe also the colors. Like, I would say visually they're... I wouldn't say similar, but visually they have that similar... They don't have those... browns and greens and grays, like they stay away from that, or if they do, it's vibrant or it's with a backdrop of like a beautiful sky, right? And yeah, it looks like there's a large amount of customizability, like you can get outfits. The navigation system looks really cool. It's like the wind.
Instead of having a compass at the top of the screen, you're following wind breezes, which is neat.
And I think it's, you can turn the wind up or you can turn it down. So it's just sort of like things like, you know, flowing leaves or like the grass will guide you. Like it just sort of leads you, which I think is kind of a very brilliant navigation system. Like that's... You know, it doesn't, as you're saying, it doesn't have, like, the compass or the arrow bar at the top that's, like, go this way.
it makes for a much nicer, smoother game.
And well, and you can discover.
Yeah.
I would say in that way it kind of reminds me of, like, Breath of the Wild, right? You just sort of, like, look around and you're like, oh, maybe I'm going to go over there and, you know, check it out for a little bit. Yeah. Like, I like that. That's one of the better parts of Breath of the Wild is just being able to look around and discover. I think the gameplay in this sounds like it's fun. You can do stealth or sort of more fighty kind of thing.
Yeah. So you can kind of make your gameplay as you want it with either stealth or melee, which I know I'm going to go for melee because I'm notoriously bad at stealth.
Well, apparently, to do the melee is more honorable. Like, that's like
great.
Which is hilarious because, like, just played Dishonored and I'm just like, well, what are you telling me now? You're telling me now that stealth isn't cool? Killing people is cool? But yeah,
you have to be upfront about it. That's all.
It does look like. But yeah, we'll get back to it when we actually play it.
So now Nintendo did a mini direct on Monday, which is the time we're doing this, and it's a very small one. They have announced some DLC for a co-op game we were playing.
It could be co-op.
Cadence of Hyrule.
Yeah.
And they have DLC that's released July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be coming out with two more DLCs later on in the year.
Yeah, they look pretty beefy. Like, you get five new characters, you get, like, 30 new songs, and then, like, a whole new story with Skull Kid.
Is great, because Skull Kid is a great character.
Yeah, I feel a little underutilized. Like, I realize, you know, maybe he only really belongs to the Majora's Mask universe in that way, but I feel that could be revisited at some point. It would be, like, that's one of, I think, people who've played Majora's Mask really enjoyed it. Like, people really think it's cool, and I think it's cool. Like,
some people get annoyed by the time travel aspect, but
here's the thing. If people are like me, and up until like the last dungeon realize that there's a spell to slow down time, you know, that's maybe where they could come to some problems. So I understand, because I played the whole game up until, like, once again, the final dungeon, and I was like, you can slow down time. Oh boy, I have been playing the game in hard mode. I love to make things more difficult for myself.
And you can speed up time too.
Yes. Yep.
So, did you know that one?
No. I only know I could go back in time to, you know, the day that I needed to go back to.
That's great.
Yeah. So I had...
I feel really bad for you.
Yeah.
But that's also great.
Once again, when I figured it out, it was fine. But up until then, I was like, why is this game so hard?
So, Crypt of the NecroDancer, Cadence of Hyrule is coming out with some DLC.
Yeah, Battle Royale game. Yep.
And they are remaking Shin Megami Tensei 3, which I have never had the chance to play. I believe that was a PlayStation 1 game, was it not?
Here's the thing. I don't know. I vaguely know, but I will say Shin Megami Tensei is Persona series is a spinoff of the Shin Megami Tensei series. And I knew about that series, obviously, before Persona, but it was one I was more familiar with than Persona, and when Persona popped up, I was like, what's Persona? Like, And people like Persona more. I think they're easier, more accessible games, sort of thing.
Yeah, because Shin Megami Tensei had a reputation of being a very challenging RPG.
Yeah.
So, they are remaking it. They're going to be releasing it in 2021. And For the Switch. And they're also doing Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Yeah.
And in the same year. Which looks very spiffy, very shiny, and I want it now.
Yeah, well, it looks interesting. It looks like you're, you know, it looks very typical of that series. You know what I mean? Like, Persona games, I sort of know what I'm going to get. Shin Megami Tensei games, I sort of know what I'm going to get. Even a Final Fantasy game, like, I sort of know what I'm going to get. In terms of gameplay and sort of story, in terms of stakes, right? I know what's going to happen. The world is ending, you know, and there's only two people that can stop it or something, you know, because we ruined the earth, or the old god has come back.
Or no god has come back.
Yeah, or the main character has to become the god to save the world. Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, it is a very straightforward RPG. As far as people have said, it's go in, use your elemental types, make deals with demons, save the world as best you can. So I am going to check them out because, you know what? I am always on the lookout for a good new JRPG. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I got my list here of other stuff because I want to talk about Donkey Kong Country is coming out on the Super Nintendo Online. So
the very little known indie game Donkey Country by Rare is coming out on Switch. Wow. Once again, I am not a fan of Donkey Country games. I'm so sorry.
Donkey Kong Country.
I don't even know the name. The reason is because I'm very bad at them. Like, I appreciate the art style and the technical, you know, whatever they put into it to make it look like that. But I don't like the games. I'm very bad.
And this goes back to, I think it's still one of my top 10 games because it is such a beautiful, fun game. And I tried playing it around Christmas time with my parents like we used to in ye olden days. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot harder than I remember, too. I'm hoping that with the Switch I might
have... Just bad at video games. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. I'm awful at video games.
No, I am. That's why I'm bad at Donkey Kong.
Get good.
Yeah, no, get good at Donkey Kong. I'm just like, I'll go back to Dark Souls then. Okay, fine.
But that means that if we're coming out with the first one, hopefully they'll bring out the second one.
Yeah,
and maybe they'll come out with a third one too.
I would assume. Like, it's interesting. Like, they've probably always had the rights to them. You wonder. Well, that's actually exciting, I'll say, because that maybe means that we're going to get a slew of new Super Nintendo games for the Switch. Like, hopefully there will be some use to having, Nintendo Online, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It is $20 a year.
Which isn't bad. Which isn't once again, if you play online with people, but the aspect of them giving out free games, you know, and it should, I do feel it should be maybe every 4 months or something, you give, like, a couple games. That would be, like, it doesn't have to be every month. Like, I'm fine with that.
Make my subscription, like, every $5, get me a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually very exciting for me. I'm going to be getting all absorbed in my Super Nintendo, and it'll take me away from Animal Crossing or distract me from the fact that I've neglected my village.
Yeah.
I still haven't got terraforming.
Yeah, you should maybe get on that.
I
am not going to play Animal Crossing. Like,
check your mail at least.
Okay, I'll go check my mail so you can end your suffering of the beep. But I'm just very not into it. Like, once again, it's a thing where I have to, like, dedicate time to it or else I will feel guilty. And I know that. So I'm just going to avoid it. You can help them, though. You can say hi to them.
So I did go back on Animal Crossing. There is finally some swimming into the ocean to collect all kinds of neat things, like
That's
fish
awesome.
And pearls, and interact with the sea otter, which is very cute. So I have been doing a little bit of that. Eventually I may actually get terraforming like what everybody else has gotten.
Yay!
Yay, but I haven't gotten there yet.
You'll get there.
I'll get there. And I actually didn't want to bring it up earlier with the co-op games. Mm-hmm. I think I want to pick up Moving Out for the Switch.
I've never heard of it.
I tried playing a little bit of it at a friend's place. Mm-hmm. And it is... You remember that cooking game we were trying to play? That co-op
Overcooked?
Cooking, Overcooked.
Oh,
this is like Overcooked, except you are a moving company.
Oh, okay.
So you have to work in cooperation to bring people's furniture to the moving truck as unscathed as possible.
Okay.
And you can fling them out the window if you want.
Oh, okay.
It's quite fun. It's quite hilarious.
That's neat.
Yeah. It's looks like a very neat little party-esque game that I want to pick up at one point.
Yeah.
Just for funs.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I want to end or talk about a little bit about, like, accountability in video games.
Please do. Thank you.
Please. Please. I'm stalling for time. No, I just... because I was thinking about this, because last week I was talking about how I was really disappointed in Deadly Premonition 2, Blessing in Disguise, because there was a lot of really racist and transphobic content that was in the game. And one thing that I was really upset about, like, is that this character, York, he's personally important to me because I see him as a neurodivergent character, very much so. Like, he has his special interests of, like, 80s music and 80s movies or pop culture, and just sort of, like, there are different other things, but, you know, it was a character that I very much enjoyed, and even so far that, you know, people were very upset about this, and the creator of the game, Swery, went about it. He did it himself, and he issued a very sincere apology where, you know, not only he apologized for, you know, the hurt that he caused, But he, like, and, you know, once again, we see apologies. We see them all. We've seen a lot of apologies these days. But one thing that I think we don't really see with apologies is, like, maybe people actually saying what they're going to do to rectify the situation, right?
Right.
So what Swery is doing and what he did in, or said in his apology, that he will be rewriting things, which is kind of incredible.
That is incredible, especially after a game's been released.
Yes. And like, and here's the thing. To me, this indicates that he genuinely did not intend for this to be harmful. Like, you know, and intentions aside, you know, we can be like, yeah, you intended that. People should know better. They should. But, you know, and people will make mistakes, and this is one of them. It's how, you know, what we do afterwards to show that, you know, if we are actually apologetic in our actions, right? So Swery is, in my opinion, apologetic about his actions and about how things turned out in the video game, and he is looking to change things, which is really cool. I can't think of many instances of this where, you know, there are people that will actually, developers will actually go back, you know, and fix something in a game, content-wise. Like, they are gonna fix the frame rate, yeah, whatever.
Good,
like,
good.
But, you know, once again, it's sort of more important that maybe, like, the content, especially if you were intending for it to be, say, pro-trans, you know, that your character should say things that are then anti-trans, like, actively transphobic. So I would say what I would love to see in, like, our community, especially in Winnipeg, is just, like, more accountability, especially in video games. And for us to be asking for accountability and holding, you know, companies, especially the AAA companies, accountable for their actions and what they show in video games and what they, you know, won't show. And to basically be like, why won't you talk about this? When a company is silent about something, especially, like, you know, local companies, if they don't talk about things that are happening, Ubisoft, it looks really bad. It looks like you're not with it. You're not able to sympathize or empathize with survivors of abuse. And it just, once again, why would you want to be around something like that when I don't know what Ubisoft's stance on this is, especially Ubisoft Winnipeg? And that's where we are. We have an Ubisoft
office here.
And I would love to see some accountability from them. There is, like, once again, I would say if you can handle it, I would look out and educate yourself on what is happening within Ubisoft and how it's and once again, it's not just Ubisoft, but they need to be talking about this. They need to be telling us what they're doing, how they're doing it, and that obviously that they support the survivors and they support the people who are coming out about this. I haven't seen anything from them yet, and I'm very disappointed. I feel like it's sort of lackluster, and once again, like, yeah, you're a company, but also who pays your bills? Like, who buys the video games? You know, like, if you want the community to be supportive of you, you have to be supportive of the community. Like,
it's disrespecting not only your workers, but the people who consume your product.
Yeah.
It's very disrespectful to your customers.
Well, and once again, for the employees are there, what are you saying to them that you won't stick up for them when something like this happens? And, like, I would hope that Ubisoft Winnipeg is going through management, through their employees, and actively seeking out and seeing what's happened. Because, like, I'm not trying to make allegations, but there is a pattern here, and I wouldn't doubt there's something happening there. Like
unless they state otherwise and have proof to otherwise, like,
well,
silence is violence, guys.
Well, exactly. Like, I would say, once again, I'm not making allegations, but the fact that Ubisoft hasn't talked about this and that they sort of won't talk about this and wouldn't talk about this at their Ubisoft Direct, you know, once again, what do they care about? They care about you buying their games and looking good rather than being accountable and protecting and helping survivors. You know, that, and that's what it shows. Like, I'm not saying maybe that's what they're actively doing, but that's what it looks like. prove me wrong, please. I love to be wrong. Not really, but on this, please.
This would be, yeah.
Yeah, love it. But yeah. All right.
So that's everything we got for you for this week. And you know what? Keep changing.
Yeah, have a good one.